And I'm joined today from Senate Hess with Senator Ward. And I know we have several different kind of committees here together from the House particularly, and I'll leave that to Representative Bundy to introduce his members.
Good morning. I'm Con Bundy, and we have House members in the House Special Committee on Education. And I've seen some of your behavior, so. And also some other House members that are interested, and I'll just go around the room for those that haven't met them yet. Representative Chenault, Representative Harris, Representative Coghill, Representative Porter, Green, Wilson, Stevens, Jewell, and Guest. And what we plan to do today is mostly listen, I think, Madam Chairman. And I would start with just a little background on how we got to today. And then for those that are on teleconference, we will be rotating around the state and then catching people here in Juneau in rotation. We were scheduled from 10 until noon, but I think Senator Green has agreed, and I certainly will stay on and as long as the teleconference rooms are open, which I believe will stay open until 2. So those that are on teleconference and aren't getting to speak right away, please don't lose patience. We will stay here and as long as the room is open for you. Yes, please.
And for anyone who is interested and does not have the opportunity to testify today in Senate Hess, we're going to be reviewing the exam and all the comments about it over a period of several weeks. And what we plan to do is divide it by interest groups and having, at one point, having all the organizations who are involved with education, another maybe the superintendents, high school, and principals, another time special ed teachers, parents and students over a period of 5 or 6 weeks. So if you do not get the opportunity to testify today, there will be ample opportunity in the next few weeks. So in addition, it is always wonderful when you send us your prepared comments so it becomes part of the packets that we can pass on to people who are not present or and are listening today. I believe I may have some Senate members on teleconference off net. And that would be Senator Davis in Anchorage, Senator Lehman, I think in Anchorage, and Senator Wilkin in Fairbanks. So, thank you, Ms. Chair.
And thank you, and appreciate the reminder. I believe on February 14th, the House Committee on Education will begin to look at the governor's bill asking for a delay in the competency test. And all the testimony that we get today will be put in the background for bills on both sides, both the Senate and the House. And, of course, people who would like to provide additional testimony when we begin to have the hearings on the actual bill. This is not going to be a hearing on the bill. This is the comment period on the notion of competency tests and the idea of high school standards in general. And we'll deal specifically with the bill when they come before our committees. We have asked, because the number of people involved, that there be a three-minute time limit, and if again you can keep your comments to that length, we'd certainly appreciate it. And I know I just like to reinforce that if you have written comments, it would be very useful. Like to note that Representative Morgan has joined us as well, and Representative Morgan, welcome to join us at the table when you get a moment. As I started to say earlier, how did we get here? This wasn't something that I or any legislator chose to impose upon our students. We didn't wake up one morning and say, well, let's make life a little more interesting or difficult for our students. This began, it was a result of a series of meetings, hearings, and reactions to our current graduates. The business community expressed to myself and others a good deal of frustration that they were having to do remedial education with the young people they were hiring fresh out of high school, that they could not read and write at what the business community thought would have been a high school level. The university then chimed in and said they were very frustrated at having to provide remedial education to high school graduates that went on to college that could not function at the high school level, and they were even had gone to the point that suggested that university had limited resources. They want to put it on university work, and they'd like to charge back the public schools for the remedial work they're having to do. Well, the public schools do not have any extra money, and from my view, I think I'd like to see them get more money. So in an attempt to address the concerns of the university and the business community, and remember, at this point in Alaska, the business community are the folks that are paying state taxes. And if I were to have additional funds invested in education, the people that pay the taxes have to have some level of confidence that they're getting the product they're paying for. So we began to think about some level of accountability and some level of standards so that the young people who are leaving school aren't leaving with false illusions, with the notion that they are indeed prepared for a job in the job market, only to find out that they're not and then be frustrated, or that they are indeed prepared to go on to college and they are not. After considerable discussion, the legislature in 1997 had a reform package. In that package, we reformed the foundation formula. We instituted a competency test for teachers, and we passed a law, a very simple law, that said the Department of Education shall provide for a high school competency test. The test that is now before us was written and designed by the Department of Education. Some of us expressed frustration when they said they needed 3 years to design this test, but the argument was, and reasonable, that it had to be legally defensible, it had to be a valid test, and it had to be unique to Alaska. We couldn't just take one off the shelf that worked in California. We needed one that was unique to Alaska. And I think those of us, most of us in the legislature, felt that was a reasonable argument. And so for 3 years, the Department of Education contracted with a national testing firm, developed the test, and then they said, we need to take at least a year to develop the cut scores, the minimum passing score. And they did it through a process of bookmarking where the students took the test and the difficulty of the test, the questions were prioritized by difficulty. And groups of educators from across Alaska, urban and rural, then set the cut score. This is the minimum we would expect of a high school graduate. It's interesting to note that the State School Board and the Department of Education have already reduced those cut scores that were recommended by their panel of teachers. The philosophy was they would reduce them for the margin of error so that those young people who were having a bad day but would have normally passed the test would not fail the test. And when asked about that, because there's a margin of error on the positive side too, what about those students that passed the test but were just having a lucky day and normally wouldn't pass? They said, well, those that are the false positives that fail but are just having a bad day, they'll sue us, the others won't. So the legally defensible test is one that is of concern to the department and to ourselves. The crux seems to be now that, depending on who you talk to, the test is either too difficult or portions of it are too easy and portions are too difficult. And we collectively, the state, have to decide, indeed, if it is a valid test. Department of Education and State Board can change those cut scores, as they already have. Math seems to be the big hang-up. And if they feel that the advice they got was inappropriate, they can reject that advice and go back to the drawing board and change the math test or the cut scores if they wish. Instead, we will be facing here in the near future a request to extend the deadline. And that brings us to today's hearings. I would like those that testify, and I hope the rest of the legislators will find this useful information as well, the people to address a couple of questions. One, what should a high school diploma mean? if the average citizen hears from a young person that they have a high school diploma from an Alaskan high school, what should that person be able to generally assume about that student? Second question, should the state impose standards? And thirdly, if we are to delay the implementation of the standards, what should be done in the intervening years that hasn't been done for today's seniors in the last 12 years? And with that, Madam Chair, where would you like to begin?
What do you feel is the most efficient way to go through this? I'm not sure. I haven't seen
Stacked as they've arrived, and we can just go from the teleconference site to Juneau and then back.
Okay, maybe we can take two from each site.
Okay.
I'll let you go. You go ahead and do that first. Okay.
All right. Well, I have here at Anchorage, and I didn't choose Anchorage because I'm there. They just have to be on the top. On the top of the stack. Trust me, I'm from Anchorage. I'm here to help.
And we thank you.
And it just happens to be on top of the stack. And Debbie Osander from the Anchorage School Board is the first person on this list. And Matt Sue is next. And then we're going on to Sitka, Nome, Glen Allen, Valdez, and back here to Juneau. Ms. Osander, are you there? Excuse me, Debbie.
Yes.
We need to adjust the volume. Can you get a little closer, and we'll try to get the volume here.
I'm leaning over as we speak, represented by the.
Okay, that's better. Thank you.
Work with us and
Thank you very much. And let me remind all that are going to testify that, to repeat what Senator Green said, if you have written copies of your remarks, if you'd submit them to us, and our fax number is 465-3871, we will see that they get put into the permanent record, and they will then be passed on to the appropriate committee as hearings are held on the governor's bill. Those in Juneau that don't get a chance to sign up, if you would sign up back by the coffee machine, and those of you that are at the LIO, remember we will be rotating around and getting you as quickly as possible. I would ask the committee members, even though I'm sure we'll have a number of questions, if you might possibly save those for committee meetings and allow the public their opportunity to testify so we can maximize their participation. Continuing in Anchorage, be Todd Arndt.
Thank you very much. In listening to the comments by Ms. Oleander and yourself.
I'm sorry, would you identify yourself, please?
My name is Todd Arndt, and I'm the curriculum principal at Diamond High School.
There, thank you.
Okay, in listening to the comments by yourself and Ms. Oleander, I'm here more to talk about a sidebar to this issue rather than the main issue. We seem to be talking about the why a lot of this test is who should take it, what the standards are. I'm here to speak to you specifically about the how. I work in a high school that houses 2,100 students, and administering the test during the curricular day is very difficult. I've met with my department chairman and teachers, and we believe there's profound impact on the academic process during this test. I will have to collapse 31 classrooms that impact 846 students across the curriculum and move them to a different area. And doing that makes it very difficult for teachers to maintain the academic process. Also, we've been directed to have certified staff members proctor this test, which creates another difficulty because I have to have people while the test is going on, because not all of our students in the 10th and 11th grade reside in the same classroom. So I'm losing academic time across the curriculum during the test. And that's a great concern to the department chairman and the teachers at my school. Also, it's very difficult to have on conference hours come and proctor the test because it upsets the validity that we're all looking for when we administer the test. I guess what I'm here to talk to you about today is perhaps some options in administering the test outside of the curriculum of the school. Perhaps a consideration would be to give the test on a Saturday, or perhaps to have mornings off on the 3 days that we give the test, and those students who are not participating in the test would then come in the afternoon and attend their classes. I have great concern that while we give the test, that students who are taking the test while their class is going on in another part of the building are falling behind. They are the very people that we want to improve their academic.
Thank you very much. I'd like to acknowledge that Senator Wilkin is with us offline, and Representative Dyson, I may be getting a couple years ahead of myself there. Representative Dyson has joined us here in Juneau. We will now move to, that's still Anchorage, the Matt Sue. Sherry Stephen, is that correct, Sherry? Is Matt Sue online?
Yes, we're here.
And Sherry Stephen?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. State your name and any organization you represent, and go ahead with your testimony, please.
My name is Sherry Stevens, and I get to represent the little guys.
Good.
The little guys.
Dear legislators, as a parent of five who was special needs and a prior Bush teacher, still qualified to comment on the exit exam. I think the test should be used as a tool for identifying strengths and weaknesses. The exam should serve as a guide to solving problems, not as a weapon of destruction used to destroy two-thirds of our young people's lives. Denying my daughter a diploma is denying her a government job, as well as other careers which she is perfectly capable of succeeding in. One cannot standardize all students. Some children are late bloomers, some are famous in our history books. My child's history of education is a story of its own. Hence, all special needs are grouped together, physical, mental, emotional, etc. With all our significant strides and successes for people with disabilities, let us not go back to institutions for all. This is a travesty of justice. Schools fare even worse for many reasons. Some districts hire outside teachers who are totally ignorant of Bush, Alaska, and treat you like such. In other words, low expectations. Other districts label most students learning disabled for state and federal funding. Again, why have high expectations? Then there is the obvious, aging buildings, limited plumbing, no hot lunch programs, maybe one computer, and the list goes on. Demographics will show that most of the students passing this exam, even though in no way similar to the practice test given to study from, live in upland or ABC school districts. Private schools have the option of testing. However, these students will acquire a diploma. This is not a surprise to some. Students are tested on subjects such as geometry, which is not even required for graduation. 2 years of math are required. This is usually general math and pre-algebra. I'm going to skip this because I'm going over my 3 minutes here, but the general shelters and nonprofits are probably all for this exam. Child security. Is this what they mean when they want the private sector to provide more? How sad for our society that we have to expand and build more of these institutions. If the legislature had to take an entrance exam, would all of you be where you are today? Look around. What do you really want to accomplish? Have you really thought this through? If so, Jim Crow may live in the South, but his cousins have definitely moved to Alaska. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Don Chirrell, is it?
Chickerell.
Chickerell. Oh, I'm sorry.
I see that.
Carol Kane, please go ahead, Carol.
Thank you very much for providing this opportunity for us. My name is Carol Kane, and I'm the Executive Director for the Alaska Association of Secondary School Principals. And I have back stamped you our summary comments to Rick Cross that we sent in November, but I'd like to highlight that. And I've also been asked by Bob Thompson, who is the middle school principal at Wasilla, to enter into the record his comments as well. And so first of all, I'll do Bob Thompson if that's okay, and then we'll go on to our association division.
Go ahead, please.
Okay, Bob's comments are that I had the good fortune to receive a Fulbright Memorial Fund Award to travel to Japan last fall. I had a wonderful experience and learned a lot about the education system in the Pacific Rim Nation. Japan's education system is highly regarded in many parts of the world, and I was able to compare practices in the U.S. to those in Japan. Not surprisingly, many things were the same. He goes on to say, there were some obvious differences as well. The Japanese have found that these tests have created two problems in particular that they would like to correct. One is that the tests have put a lot of pressure on students as the test deadlines approach. Problems of depression, fatigue, rebellion, and stress are a result of the high stakes of these exams. Parents are very demanding of their children, insisting that they attend juku or private schools that choose their children. Students in eighth grade have dropped out of extracurricular activities to receive tutoring in public schools, and then most attended the juku for up to 20 hours per week in preparation for the high school exam. The second problem they have found is that their curriculum is being driven by these tests. The result is a lot of students that are uniforming their knowledge and skills without a lot of individualism, critical thinking skills, and creativity. The Japanese are concerned about this as they see their competitive edge diminish in the world. They are moving away from high-stakes testing and conformity, while we are moving towards high-stakes testing and state standards. He says, I believe in high standards and appropriate testing. I believe in accountability for learning. I believe that holding students accountable to minimum standards can decrease motivation and raise the standard for learning, especially for low-performing students that are capable of doing better. He Yet, it is important that we learn from the mistakes of those that have gone too far down this path. He concludes, as we adjust what we do in education for Alaskans, it will be good to keep in mind the problems associated with too much of one thing. The most successful students are those that have a variety of experiences and are exposed to a diverse curriculum by teachers with high expectations. Alaskans are an independent people. That independence and individualized style is an asset to competitiveness and the future growth of our state. We must beware of the pitfalls of an education system that can lead to conformity. Respectfully submitted, Bob Thompson, Principal, Wasilla Middle School. That concludes his remarks. And then my comments, I would like to summarize some of the issues that our association has done after a collective review with our membership, which represents 280 members that include K-12 principals, middle school principals, high school principals, post-secondary staff, as well as the superintendents. And our board fully supports the extension of the high school qualifying exam based on Governor Noll's recommendation in that he said, time to do it right, be fair to all involved, provide resources, and more time to learn. And our board believes that we need to pay attention to the impact of our proposal in that we don't want to negate the value of high standards and accountability. We also want to reinforce that those students who have already passed the exam, that they did meet that expectation, and that should be so noted as well. And finally, we want to make sure that there is fairness for all students, especially those with special needs. And as Todd Arndt has reflected to you, we have done a lot of thought on the actual process of the testing. We would recommend looking at multiple diplomas, doing the implementation and phasing in the issues, and we really want to be full participating partners in this whole process with shared responsibility for the students particularly, our parents, the school, the community, the politicians, and all of the professional associations. And so please call upon us to do whatever we can do to advance high standards and expectations for all students, irregardless of where they live in the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Now in Petersburg, Richard Montgomery, please. And after Petersburg, we'll go to Sitka.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
My name is Richard Montgomery. I'm the principal of Petersburg High School. I have a couple boys in the high school currently. I'd like to thank the legislators, and particularly Representative Bundy, for having the courage and taking a stand when it comes to the requirement of students meeting reading, writing, and mathematics standards prior to leaving our public schools. Since the passing of this legislation, I've seen quality changes in our school systems as we proactively prepare in Petersburg for the challenge of the Alaska State qualifying exam. Our math requirements have jumped from a two-credit requirement to essentially a five-credit requirement, since our freshmen are required to take math for a 90-minute block 5 days a week. We've taken the time to identify students other than students on IEPs with reading difficulties. We then staffed three reading programs at the high school. We've made tutoring more available to students before school. We've developed diagnostic and prescriptive programs for students who have not passed the math portion of the exit exam. Many of our tutors, I might add, are students currently enrolled in math analysis and calculus programs. Kids Teaching Kids is a powerful program. Writing has always been one of our highest priorities. But since the exam, all the teachers are more engaged, and writing across the curriculum has become the norm. This notion that reading and writing for the language arts teacher's responsibility has become a thing of the past. Students that used to seek out the easiest schedules are now realizing that it might not be enough to get them out the front door. Students that accepted a D know now that all that is ink. I believe discipline in our classrooms have improved as students are taking their studies a bit more serious. A few who would be classroom clowns have taken off their hats and decided to pick up their pencils. Make no doubt about it, at least in Petersburg, this legislation has made students, teachers, administrators, and parents sit up in their chairs and take notice. I believe to retreat from our course may prove costly to many of these students that have not only have decided school is important, but are feeling successful and are enjoying that feeling. I do believe there needs to be serious considerations and accommodations for those students currently under an individual education plan who unfortunately have disabilities that may unfairly keep them from graduation if they cannot meet these standards. We are concerned about losing credibility with our public, but I'm more concerned about the credibility we have when we look into the eyes of our students that took these tests seriously, spent countless hours sweating bullets taking the exam, and passed them only to tell them we were just kidding. Wow. We must be careful about using the excuse that standards are new and that in a few more years we should expect different results on reading and writing. I have worked in all corners of this state. I have never worked in a district where reading and writing weren't their highest priority. Each district spent a large portion of their budgets improving in these areas, and teachers worked hard in coming up with every technique that they could find to make it understandable for their students. What was missing was an accountability factor, placed not just on the school system, but on parents and students as well. Considering the political pressures out there, it's probably inevitable that this piece of legislation will either be reversed or modified. I'd like you to at least consider staying on course with a reading portion of the exam for the year 2001. It appears to be the easiest of the three to complete. In the year 2002, implement the writing, and 2003, the math. The math is the most difficult and requires, for the most part, geometry for success. Many districts will need time to restructure, as we did, their requirements and courses for success in the math exam. At the very least, every diploma in the state of Alaska should give credit to the passage of one or more of the exams, perhaps with an official seal for each of the exams passed. If you have students to take an exam, there should be something in it for them. I believe that students being asked to take a three-day exam when they are not stakeholders is counterproductive. Because of assessing the exam, not to mention the loss of 6 days of a year for quality instruction for data that may prove to be no more than shelf ballast is a discouraging thought. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And you are a school principal?
That's correct.
All right. Thank you. I've been asked by committee members to let people know what their association is when you begin your testimony. Staying in Petersburg, Marjorie Faust, is it?
Yes.
Thank you.
My name is Marjorie Faust, and I am the counselor at Petersburg High School. And I have two comments I would like to make this morning. First, I believe that all students can learn, but not at the same time or in the same way. That one-third of our sophomores did pass the math section of the test last spring should not be a signal for despair if the test is intended as an exit exam. Instead, we should celebrate that a third passed it early and use the next 2 years to fill in the skills that they are missing. And that's what we're trying to do at Petersburg. Secondly, I also believe that students should be given many ways to demonstrate what they know and can do. Certainly, the exit exam is one way to show mastery of the standards. But I would like to suggest that an alternative task be made available to students to demonstrate mastery of the state standards. One way would be a portfolio to document what students understand and how they can apply the skills and knowledge that they have gained in their school career. The portfolio then would be presented to and verified by a representative local group, perhaps consisting of teachers, parents, business people, community folks, and school board members. The portfolio choice would not be a quick or simple alternative, but would provide another pathway to graduation. I am in favor of continuing the current exit exam with the option for students to demonstrate mastery of the standards by other means than the exit exam. Thank you.
Thank you, Marjorie. Like to go to Sitka now. In Sitka, Judy Kern Steffen. Yes, go ahead, please. I'm sorry, Judy, we're having trouble hearing. Can we ask you to get a little closer to the mic? I think our volume is up as high as it goes.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Be as loud as you can, please.
Can you hear me now?
Not better yet.
All right.
Can you just yell at us?
Is that better?
No, I'm afraid it's not.
Can you hear me at this point?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'll shout.
There you go.
I think that should be given to sophomores, and those sections not passed should be required to be retaken in a student's junior and senior year. But those students needing accommodations according to special ed guidelines should be provided with such. However, I believe the criteria for high school graduation should include several requirements. For instance, passing grades in all subjects. There might be an academic emphasis in one area. There could be a senior project, portfolios, and the competency test. The areas must be met with passing grades, and although the competency test would be taken into consideration, non-passage would not keep a student from graduation. A special seal or notice could be placed on the transcript of those who received passing grades on the competency test, or it could be noted which subjects were passed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judy. State and Sitka, Catherine Parker, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, it's doing well now. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Catherine Parker, and I'm speaking as a parent of a sophomore who will be expected to pass his exit exam to obtain a diploma. And I would like to read to you a letter that I actually addressed to state legislators January 14th of this month, but for the record, I would like to repeat this letter, as not all legislators, I believe, received it. I'm addressing this letter to all state legislators, as this is an issue that concerns me as a parent and citizen of the state of Alaska. I am asking the legislators to delay requiring the passage of the high school exit exam for 4 years. It will take at least that amount of time to allow school districts to fully prepare students for the test. I believe accountability must take place in our schools, but making one single test the sole determiner of whether a student graduates with a diploma is wrong. As a former educator, finding a good test, one that fully measures a student's capabilities and potential, is very hard. Assessments should be made as a student progresses quarter by quarter, semester by semester, and year by year by the instructor who is using guidelines set up by the school district. Each child learns differently, performs differently, and must be assessed as the individual that they are. Their future should not be determined in one fell swoop by a standardized test that does not take into account that a student may be dyslexic, blind, totally right-brained, to only mention a few individual traits that one may be, quote, blessed with, but that a standardized test will not take into account. I know that requiring high school qualifying exams as a determinant as to whether a student gets a diploma has become a national trend, but I am reading that it's starting to backfire. For legal reasons and public pressure, many states are backing down. I do not believe that a single test is the answer for what could be such a critical consequence. I was recently sent an editorial from the newspaper USA Today by Stephen Gorey, president of the Massachusetts Teachers Association, and let me quote, "Teachers do not grade students on the basis of a single test. Colleges do not admit students on the basis of a single test, and state government should not determine which students may graduate from high school on the basis of a single test. The best way to determine whether high standards are being met is through multiple fair and valid measures. Parents rightly would be upset if Johnny came home with an F for the year in math, despite doing well in class on homework and other exams, simply because he failed one test of questionable validity. They should be even more outraged if Johnny is denied a chance to go to college or seek a job based on an equally narrow performance measure. I am a parent of a sophomore who will be expected to pass this test. She was in special education classes through fifth grade when she tested out of the program and legally cannot get the extra help they offered. That does not mean that she does not need it. According to CAT and other standardized tests, she is a couple of years behind her peers academically. For years, the school systems have stressed self-esteem, do not hold your child back. Well, great, a high school qualifying exam is now in place. Self-esteem is out the window as our children are forced to take summer school, seek tutors, and repeat grades. Please move back the date for taking this exam at least 4 years or eliminate it altogether. My daughter would like to be an art instructor or an elementary educator, but will be denied this goal if she is required to take this test and fails it. I believe that more time must be allowed to prepare for this test. Thank you.
Thank you. And moving now to off-net, we have Terry Brentley and Nenana.
Hello, this is Terry Brentley and Nenana, superintendent of schools. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for this opportunity to express my opinions on the exit exams and the benchmarks. I feel that they are a wonderful thing to have, that we should have them, and we should strive for excellence. My concern is when you start a program in the middle of getting it formatted, you require the end to be accomplished before it's done formatting, before you accomplish the end. It's kind of like building a house. You put the roof on before you put the walls on. Now, without the walls, I don't think you can hold the roof on. So you have to do it in a systematic order. That is, I see, the biggest crux to our standards is that you're not, you're expecting the students to reach standards that haven't been through the system long enough to reach those standards and expect them to have them accomplished. It is something that is definitely needed, and improvement is always, and we do strive for excellence. And we should be striving for excellence all the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Continuing off net, Dr. Davis from, is it the Bering Straits School District?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Representative Bundy and members of the committee, good morning and thanks for the opportunity to speak. As Alfie Kahn wrote in this month's Kappen, and I paraphrase, do not let anyone tell you standardized tests are not an accurate measure. They are. And we can remarkably predict the size of houses by the scores achieved. Why is it adults design, administer, and interpret a new test that a majority of children fail and never ask themselves if the test might not be flawed? Alaska is not alone, as other states have found this to be the case as well. I speak today in opposition of the misuse of these assessment instruments. The high school equivalency exam has the potential of providing our community with a rich, important information about the achievement of the children and their progress in high school. Instead, we're on the verge of allowing this one tool to dramatically alter class of 2002 and the classes that follow. The opportunity to realize the vision of the proponents of this assessment will be lost if changes are not made. I have spoken for the suspension of this date. In 1 year and a few months, we will find that the most significant number of students not graduate from high school since the 1940s and 1950s because they have, and not because they are any less capable. The establishment of the high stakes exam came as a desire for accountability and improvement in Alaska education. This is an honorable goal. A movement not unlike that has swept other states. The desire for accountability has also been based on the belief that Alaska schools have done a poor job of educating children while consuming, some say, a significant and unreasonable amount of the state budget. As we have witnessed, the failure of students to pass all three sections of the high school exam has been widespread and not isolated to any one region. I want to remind those critics of Alaska public education that at no time in the history of the state has education been stronger, educated more children, and been more effective. No other model for delivering education has been more successful than the current model. More children are achieving at a higher rate, attending school longer, and continuing their education further than any other decade. The issue confronting education is the same that confronts the entire community. Schools cannot and should not be asked to solve all societal issues. Children do come to school without being prepared. Some are mistreated, some get very little sleep, and some live in abject poverty, some need medical care, and yes, some need better trained teachers and more effective administrators. Simply placing blame on schools for poor achievement of children will never solve societal problems. It will simply provide some people with an excuse not to engage in the work to help our young people grow and develop. America has created a two-tier educational system. This system has worked well for some and not for others. Every decade since the news of the Soviet Union launching Sputnik, people have looked towards education as the reason for our country not being successful.